When I was in seminary, one of the most powerful ways we found to relax and decompress from the stress was to take a walk around the Chicago Botanic Garden. 385 acres, 26 different gardens, 2 natural areas, from bonsai to bulbs, English oak to esplanade, woods and islands, railroads to roses. It even has a carillon or bell tower for concerts. And it is truly an amazing space. Of course, no matter where you were walking, there would be gardeners caring for this garden, watering the plants, pulling the weeds, trimming the hedges, tending the new shoots and the giant oaks. Disciples of the master gardener, they nourished and sustained life in that garden. When classmates and I would walk around the garden deep in conversation about God or faith or relationships, God's grace was always nearby. And let me tell you, and both Paul and Jimmy Sue can affirm this, seminarians need grace, lots of grace. When people say going to seminary is transformative, what they're really saying is that going to seminary is going to be heartbreaking and lonely. And yes, you'll be pruned and it's going to hurt. Looking back, I suppose the stress and challenges of moving from Colorado to Chicago took its greatest toll in the first few weeks of my tenure. I missed my job, my house, my friends, my church, my everything. I'd moved from a great townhouse that had a pool, not to mention the mountains and dating and the art museum, to a 3-room apartment, no air conditioning, on the western side of the building. It had a bathroom that didn't even have a single outlet, except for one of those teeny tiny little outlets that they used to use for men's electric shavers. And they would have that outlet next to the light fixture. Do you all know what I'm talking about? You can't plug your blow dryer into that outlet. I spent the first few weeks overwhelmed, weepy, feeling like one of these things is not like the other. Sure, I'd made a huge mistake. In the first 3 months, I blew out 2 discs in my lower back and a capillary in my right eye. I firmly believe in the words of today's gospel that the evil one was trying to snatch away the joy and excitement I knew from walking with Jesus that took me to seminary in the first place. I really felt like someone from today's gospel. In class, I was listening but didn't understand, looking but not seeing the ever-present grace. My heart had grown afraid and my ears hard of hearing. I think the parched earth and deadened heart of my first few months of seminary drew me to seek out places of grace. And that's how I found the Chicago Botanic Garden. And this is their mission statement. We cultivate the power of plants to sustain and enrich life. Not just plant life, but life. I think the gardeners at the Botanic Garden knew the grace a cared for and nurtured garden can have on the human heart. I think the gardeners knew that regardless of whether visitors were walking in sunshine or carrying umbrellas through the rain, their lives would be sustained and enriched just by being in the garden. That garden was and is an oasis of grace. Not just for seminarians, but for everyone who needed just a little bit. We'd see families with little ones in the growing garden, and others who were disabled enjoying the enabling garden or the sensory garden. Large groups and individuals out to soak in the beauty of the islands and bridges. Students and teachers, young and old, would come to the garden to find peace. It was a place of diversity of cultures and people, and it was made the more beautiful for it. So what if in today's gospel reading of the sower, Jesus, as the master gardener, intends us to be gardeners with him, to nurture and sustain life just like the gardeners in the Botanic Garden. What if we walked the paths of our lives with the daily intent of watering the parched and hardened places of this world with love and companionship? We'd create gardens of grace. What if we walked the paths of our lives with the daily intent of pulling out the weeds of bad behaviors? Now, we know the ones I'm talking about because the Holy Spirit just whispered in my ear and probably in your ear just what those behaviors are. So what if instead of growing weeds, we planted seeds of generosity and joy? We'd create gardens of grace. Now, last week, Deacon Jimmy Sue began her sermon with the story of a tomato plant and wanting to nurture and sustain good soil for the seeds she is planting in the garden here at St. Michael's. As a fellow gardener, I give her time and attention to help tend and water her new relationships by introducing her to you, our members, or helping her plan her first funeral for Shirley Wright, which will be coming up on August 9th. Earlier in the week, a woman came looking for sanctuary here from an abusive husband. She had walked in off the street and felt the Holy Spirit had guided her to our front door. We gave her safety and a listening space, and she eventually found a safe haven for herself and her daughter. Praise God. That's what it means to garden in the kingdom. We plant gardens of grace whenever or wherever we happen to find ourselves. At work or home or school, church, the grocery, on a plane or in a camping tent, even at church. That long ago day when Jesus walked out of the house and had to sit in a boat on the Sea of Galilee for the size of the crowd, he knew he'd need gardeners or disciples to help him create gardens of grace. The master gardener Jesus needs you and me to tend, sustain, and nurture life in God's kingdom. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 10 to 11 in the Message, I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jeweled tiara. For as the earth bursts with spring flowers, and as a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master, God, brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. So let me close with a little prayer. May you and I cultivate gardens of grace with love, attention, and prudent pruning, so that our words and thoughts may rise from fertile soil, bringing forth comfort, wisdom, energy, healing, and peace. And may all God's people say,